face, an eye that I couldn't help but notice was focused solely on me. "Watch the arm carefully, Mark," I told myself as the sentinel extended the limb forward towards me, letting the tip of the large sword in its other hand drag along the ground. "You might only get one shot at this, and you don't want to catch a face full of whatever exploding magic it's throwing." Time slowed down as I continued to rush towards the ancient construct, carefully watching its left hand open, revealing another crystalline sphere set in its palm, this one glowing with a bright crimson energy. With true sight still active, I saw the energy stored within the crystal rapidly accumulate as the sentinel readied its attack. Holding my breath as the light intensified, I carefully waited for the moment that signaled that the beam was on its way. Then I blink-stepped. Having decided to pick a spot diagonally away from where I'd been standing, I reappeared on the sentinel's flank, just outside of its range, planting my foot hard on the ground as I adjusted my approach towards it, the sound of exploding stone barely registering in my ears as I ran. Even with my sudden change in position, I saw the golem's damaged head already beginning to shift towards me, with the rest of its body following suit a heartbeat behind. "Shit! This thing is fast!" I cursed, surprised at the sentinel's quick reaction time, as the edge of its glowing heart came into view, my eyes fixating on it once more. "Wait! Maybe I can use this!" Going with the idea that had just fallen into my mind, I snapped my hand out and cast Jump, leaping into the air the moment that I felt my body weight fade with Splinter's tip thrust out before me. Timing the sentinel's turn, I aimed the point of the sword directly at the crystalline sphere centered in its chest. Landing almost dead center on the crystal, I felt my sword skip along its faceted face, carving a thin line across it and causing several small fragments to break free from the impact. Reacting instinctively as I began to fall back to the ground, I grabbed hold of the depression that the crystal heart was seated in with my free hand, feeling the crud covering the construct's body squish wetly underneath my fingers. Tightening my grip in an attempt to hold on, I glanced at an entry that had just appeared in my combat log, eager to see just how effective my attack had been. "You hit an Afarian sentinel for 23 points of damage." Well, shit, that sucked, I thought bitterly after seeing such a low number despite the direct hit that I'd managed to score. But then again, maybe I shouldn't try and cut a crystal with a sword. Deciding to try something different while I still had the chance, I pulled myself upwards, hoping to slam the end of Splinter's hilt into the crystal as hard as I could, with a thought that the heavier and blunter end of the sword would be more effective against the hard crystal. Unfortunately, however, the sentinel picked that exact moment to violently twist its body, causing my grip to slip free of the crud-covered handhold that I was holding onto and sending me falling to the ground. Still aided by my jump spell, I landed effortlessly, silently cursing my missed opportunity while forcing my thoughts to shift into survival mode, knowing deep in my gut that an attack by the sentinel was only seconds behind. Making a split-second decision, I rushed in even closer to the Nefarian machine, figuring that the risk of being kicked or stepped on was a much more manageable one to take, especially considering that every other option before me included dodging a massive sword or a magical beam, if not both, at the same time. No sooner did I start moving than a metallic crash echoed from behind me as something heavy slammed the ground, no doubt being the very sword I was trying to avoid.
"We are coming!"
Amaranth's voice entered my mind as I ran past the sentinel's leg, uselessly slashing Splinter against it to no visible effect.
"Distract it for a moment longer."
"That's easy for you to say!" I called back to my familiar just as the construct kicked out towards me with a crud-encrusted leg, forcing me to throw my body blindly to the side in a desperate attempt to evade the attack.
"You're not!"
A brutal impact from behind cut off the rest of my thought, followed by an explosion of pain as I felt my feet leave the ground. Gasping for air, I saw everything around me blur as I sailed past one of the ether crystals, then landed on the ground in a heap a short distance away from it, a flashing alert in my combat log screaming for my attention. A Nefarian sentinel hits you with a haymaker for 312 points of damage.
Ugh!
I groaned, lying on the ground in agony as I tried to twist an arm around to clench at my back where the blow had landed, dimly aware of the fact that I couldn't move my other arm.
"That hurt!"
Lying on the ground, wheezing from the blow, I slowly collected myself, forcing myself back into reality as the sound of rushing footsteps caused me to pull my eyes off the ground and look in the direction of the noise. Running towards me at full speed were both Thea and Zethus, with a familiar shambling shadow following the latter lizard man close behind.
"Lyrian!"
Thea shouted as she saw me glance up at her.
"Are you okay?"
Got blindsided,
I replied, wincing in pain as I twisted to get a better look at whatever was following Zethus, my eyes widening when I recognized it to be a near-identical revenant to the ones that we'd fought at the ruins' entrance.
Hey! Behind you!
It's a fine Lyrian,
Zethus said quickly, seeing where my attention was focused.
I'm controlling it as one of my minions.
Oh, I stated, exhaling sharply as Thea sent a wave of healing energy into my shoulder. I've never seen you do that before.
It's the first time, Zethus said with a shrug. I haven't been able to find any creatures worth raising until now. We can talk about that later,
Thea exclaimed as she continued to mend the muscle and bone that had been damaged in the sentinel's attack.
Right now, the others need our help in dealing with the sentinel.
How are they doing? I asked, unable to see what was happening behind me while lying on my stomach.
Looks to be touch and go, Zethus answered nervously. But at least it's no longer shooting those beams.
It probably won't unless there's no one in melee range, I theorized as Thea finally finished her work and the last of the pain faded. Pushing myself up off the ground, I stood and turned to look back towards the battle, seeing that it had shifted away from the two ether crystals. In the short time that I'd been knocked away from the fight, both parties had managed to emerge out of hiding and were in the process of surrounding the Nefarian sentinel, the ranged members of the group immediately letting their spells and arrows fly as the more melee-oriented members rushed to close with the construct. This looks like some of the raids I've run in other games, I thought as I briefly took in the sight, unable to help but notice just how much larger the sentinel was than the rest of us. But then again, so were the snakes we fought last week.
All right,
I stated, bending down to pick up Splinter from where I dropped it. Let's get back to it.
We'll link up with some of the ranged,
Thea told me as we all began to move.
Try not to get hit again.
I'll try,
I told the lizard woman just before we all split up to go our separate ways, save for Zethus's minion who remained by my side as I ran to rejoin the fight.
But no promises there!
Now, how the hell can we bring this thing down? I thought as I turned away from the pair and ran towards the sentinel, watching a wave of magical fire from one of the spellcasters splash against the golem's body and bathe it in intense heat. The flames raged for several seconds on the construct's side, but when they finally vanished, I saw that it had only managed to burn off a layer of the filth that had covered the spot earlier, revealing a section of pitted and rusted metal.
Damn! What is all that crap it's covered in?
Grimacing at the sight before me, I came to a stop just outside of melee range, a short distance away from the two ether crystals, as the sentinel swung its massive sword through the air just in front of me, causing both Freya and Thorn to leap backward towards me in an attempt to move out of the blade's path.
Lyrian!
Thorn exclaimed, casting one quick glance in my direction before focusing his attention back onto the sentinel as it continued to sweep its sword in a circle around its body, forcing everyone clustered around it to either retreat or take their risks by rushing inside its guard.
We saw you get hit!
Thea healed me, I replied, watching Zethus's minion recklessly charge towards the golem with single-minded determination, only to get sliced completely in half as it practically ran straight into the sentinel's sword, which had come by for a second pass.
How are we doing?
Poorly,
Freya grunted, her eyes glancing at Zethus's dead minion before darting back to the sentinel as it completed its turn and immediately swung its sword out towards Drace, who was nearly knocked off his feet as he caught the weapon on his new shield and deflected it away from his body.
Right now, we're gonna try and take it down at the knees. I have no idea what that gray stuff that's growing on it is, but it looks like it's slowly eating its way through the metal.
Heads up!
Thorn barked at Frey and me, urgently motioning towards Lazarus, who had leaped inside the sentinel's guard and landed a punishing blow to the side of its knee, visibly deforming the filth-covered armor surrounding the joint.
Get ready to rush it! Focus on the same spot he just hit!
As soon as the words were out of Thorn's mouth, the sentinel twisted its attention away from Drace and took a large step sideways, bringing its sword down to bear in one smooth motion on the spot Lazarus had just been occupying. I had just enough time to see the half-giant's head appear as he completed his roll, now behind the turning golem, before Freya and Thorn charged forward.
Lear, let's go!
Freya shouted, pausing just long enough for Thorn to take the lead before rushing to follow him.
Hit it hard, then pass through the other side!
What?
The question was half out of my mouth before I shoved it aside and charged after the pair, trusting that they had a better sense of the sentinel's tactics than I did at the moment. Turning its back towards us, the Nefarian golem twisted as it searched for Lazarus, who continued moving from where I'd seen him, and was now running back out of melee range on its opposite side. Focused on searching for the elusive half-giant, the sentinel was caught completely by surprise as Thorn slammed his heavy mace into its knee, targeting the exact same spot that Lazarus had just hit a few seconds earlier. The loud ring of metal on metal filled the air as the golem's already weakened armor crumpled and rent apart, revealing a finger-sized hole in the filth-covered metal that protected its knee. With his attack spent, Thorn continued past the construct, slowing only to rush around its leg as he made for the edge of its reach and out of harm's way. Less than a second afterward, it was Freya's turn, her long spear arriving long before her body did, its point driving deep into the wound and widening it as she put her entire weight behind the attack. Once again, the metal groaned in protest as her spear touched something delicate housed within the sentinel's knee, causing a strange grinding noise to briefly hiss out before she was forced to pull her weapon free and continue onwards on Thorn's heels. Then, trailing several steps behind Freya, I finally arrived! With the hard work already done for me, I didn't hesitate in thrusting Splinter into the now large gash on the side of the sentinel's knee, the blade crackling with a stored shocking touch. Passing through the shorn metal with ease, I put all my momentum into the attack, feeling the ether-touched sword bite into something hard within the construct's joint. Immediately, the sword jerked in my hand as the same grinding noise that I'd heard earlier returned, only this time, much louder and vicious. Gripping the now vibrating hilt of my weapon tightly, I discharged the electricity stored within, causing the sentinel to shudder mid-step as the entire leg seized and its balance shifted precariously. "Well, that finally did something!" I exclaimed mentally, feeling the vibration suddenly intensify as Splinter began to violently shake in my grip. In a heartbeat, my triumph for damaging the construct was replaced with the desperate need to pull my weapon free of whatever it was caught in, lest I end up with a broken sword. Unfortunately, before I could do anything to pull Splinter free, the sentinel's balance finally failed, and it stumbled forward, the movement causing the blade to wrench free of my hand. "Shit!" I cursed, half in panic at losing my sword and half at the prospect of being crushed. Unable to help, only able to instinctively flinch as the golem's body nearly came crashing down on top of me before it awkwardly caught itself by falling to one knee and planting both of its hands on the ground in front of it. "That was too close," I thought as I stared at the now semi-prone golem before me, its wounded leg stretched straight out behind it with Splinter's hilt protruding from the side of its knee. Reacting instinctively, I rushed forward to grab my weapon again, intent on pulling it free before it could break. Grabbing hold of the hilt, I looked back up at the prone construct, my brain finally catching up to the moments and sending a spark of realization through my mind. "We can all finally reach it now!" My eyes widened, seeing that the bulk of its body was now easily within melee range, giving everyone a chance to attack the sentinel without needing to worry about its sword or taking turns striking at its legs. "Hit it while it's down!" I shouted out to the group as I added my free hand onto Splinter's hilt in an attempt to hold it steady, the grinding noise from the limb increasing in pitch with every second that passed. Hoping to take advantage of the golem's prone position, I attempted to drain mana from it, but found that there was nothing at all to absorb, likely because I wasn't in direct contact with the crystal powering it. "Try hitting the crystal in its chest with something heavy!" Even before the words were fully out of my mouth, I noticed that some of the guild members were already moving to take advantage of the sentinel's vulnerability as I caught sight of Mir and Cadmus rushing in behind me, the pair's attention focused on the golem's opposite flank. Just as they vanished out of the corner of my eye, a flash of azure fur appeared in front of me as Amaranth suddenly rushed into view on the opposite side of the sentinel's leg, his mental voice greeting me a heartbeat afterward.
"You have crippled the metal creature,"
he announced, jumping onto the back of the sentinel's leg, his weight causing it to strain.
"Temporarily,"
I told the cat while trying to twist Splinter free, yet finding it impossible to budge. Given our advantage at the moment, I didn't want to completely pull the blade free of the joint and give the sentinel the ability to regain its feet, but if I couldn't at least loosen it a little bit while I still had the chance, I knew I wouldn't be able to for the rest of the fight, if at all.
"But my sword is stuck in it! I can't get it out!"
"Then we will tear it out,"
Amaranth replied, a savage snarl echoing out from his maw as he bit down into the armor that covered the construct's knee, his large teeth flashing inches away from my face as they pierced through the filth-covered metal.
"It may not be as soft as flesh, but my teeth work on it just the same."
Feeling a surge of surprise shoot through me as I watched my familiar snap his head to the side, twisting the already weakened metal until I had a near-perfect look at the inner workings of the sentinel's knee, noticing that whatever the substance was that covered the outside of the construct also covered everything inside of it. That's why I can't pull Splinter out, I realized, temporarily dismissing the presence of the gray crud after seeing that I managed to jam my sword through the center of the sentinel's mechanical knee, which had closed from its original open position, trapping the blade in between. I need you to jump up and down on the knee, I told Amaranth, just as a burst of magic flared out from the front of the sentinel, followed by several loud shouts. I had no idea what was going on from my vantage point, but I knew that it was past time that I rejoined the fight. I should be able to get my blade free if you can get it to bend. Not bothering to question my thinking, Amaranth did exactly what I asked of him, the azure-furred cat leaping high into the air off the sentinel's leg before coming down directly on top of the knee, causing it to sag, and by extension forcing the joint to open ever so slightly. With a sharp yank, I managed to pull Splinter out a few inches as the joint opened and before it caught a second time. Again! I called to my familiar, the endless sound of metal on metal and the thunder of magic intensifying with each second that passed. We're almost there! Once more, Amaranth leaped into the air and came down heavily onto the sentinel's leg, causing it to bend even further than it had before, allowing me to pull Splinter free of its prison. Yes! I exclaimed in relief as the blade came free and I took a staggering step away from the sentinel, unable to keep myself from checking the sword for any sign of damage. Seeing only the faintest of markings on the ether-touched weapon, I turned my attention back towards Amaranth, whose voice rang out in my head.
It is beginning to rise,
my familiar shouted urgently as the sentinel began to regain its senses and shift its weight backward onto its undamaged knee in preparation to stand up again, the movement also allowing it to free its hands. Damn, I swore, taking in the sight at a glance and then lunging forward, thrusting Splinter back into the wound that Amaranth had managed to rend open, this time aiming the edge of my weapon at a spot where a metal piston joined to the side of the sentinel's knee. Guiding the ether-touched blade towards a crud-covered bolt that anchored the piston in place, I felt it bite deep into the weakened metal, prompting me to thrust down at it for a second time with all the force that I could put behind it. Unable to stand up to the assault, the rusted bolt split in two, immediately causing the attached piston to hang loosely.
I think that's the best we're gonna do, I said,
seeing Amaranth leap off the leg as the sentinel pulled it forward as it prepared itself to stand. Motioning at the cat to follow me, I backed away from the moving leg, intent on seeing how the rest of the party was faring, when, without warning, a bright surge of azure light erupted from the front of the sentinel.
Shit! Look out!
I heard Freya's voice boom through the air as I shielded my eyes from the sudden brightness, several other panicked shouts echoing out in sympathy.
Constantine, move! Oh, fuck!
The rogue started to shout in response, before being cut off with a sudden finality, as a thunderclap of magic erupted in front of the golem and Constantine's presence vanished from party sense. Ending as abruptly as it began, the bright azure light faded, allowing me to pull my hand away from my face just in time to see a scorched and singed Freya tumble out from in between the sentinel's legs before landing on the ground directly before me, her armor smoking from whatever attack the construct had just unleashed.
What the hell just happened?
I demanded, grabbing Freya by the collar of her armor and yanking her backward as the sentinel pushed itself up off the ground, its foot coming down right in the spot that she had just been lying in.
It shot a beam from its chest,
she replied, grabbing onto my arm and pulling herself back onto her feet, immediately motioning for us to get away from the construct.
I don't know what the hell that crystal is, but it sure as shit isn't a weak point.
Damn, I grunted as the three of us rushed out of the sentinel's range, casting a single glance over my shoulder to see that it had regained its feet, but was visibly favoring its left leg.
I think I managed to break something in its leg, at least.
I'll take whatever small victories we can get at this point,
Freya said with a sigh as we reached what we hoped was the edge of the sentinel's reach and turned to face the construct warily. Forced to squint our eyes due to the brightness of the two ether crystals now almost directly across from us. Standing at an angle to take the weight off its bad leg, I could see that the sentinel had taken a fair amount of damage in the brief time it had been within reach. Several new gashes now adorned the metal across its chest and body, including countless more burns and scars marking the spots where spells had landed. But, despite all our efforts, it didn't seem like anything critical had been hit, leaving me wondering if we would be forced to reduce the sentinel to scrap in order to kill it.
I guess a certain amount of resilience would be important when designing a security unit,
I allowed grimly, watching the sentinel swing its sword at Cadmus as the lizard man belatedly leaped off the construct and threw himself forward into a desperate roll to avoid the sweeping blade. So, any ideas how to handle this now? I asked Freya, watching the sentinel plant its foot unsteadily on the ground as its attack just barely missed Cadmus, the leg that I damaged, hindering its movement.
Hit the other leg?
Freya suggested as the spellcasters finally resumed their onslaught on the golem, their spells flying through the air and splashing across its tarnished metal shell, causing the construct to shift its head in their direction.
Maybe we should try and target the...
A flash of crimson light caused Freya's words to die in her throat as the golem's arm snapped out in one smooth motion, pointing itself in the direction of the ranged attackers and unleashing a searing beam of magic. Almost instantly, the waves of magic pouring out from the ranged attackers stopped as a thunderous explosion echoed through the chamber, causing all of us to flinch in surprise at the sentinel's unexpected change in tactics.
Shit! It's shooting beams again!
Freya exclaimed, grabbing me by the arm as the sentinel shifted its arm towards the rest of us scattered around it and unleashed another blast of energy.
We need to get behind cover!
Spinning on our heels, the three of us turned and sprinted away from the sentinel as several more explosions erupted around us, filling the large and cavernous room with a deafening echo and causing the ground to shake beneath our feet. Diving behind a large pile of stone, the three of us barely managed to avoid being struck directly by the beam, instead only suffering a punishing hail of stone as countless fragments slammed into us, some even managing to pierce through our armor. I growled in pain, grabbing a particularly large shard of stone that had managed to embed itself into my side and yanking it free.
If this thing doesn't kill us outright, it definitely will when it brings this whole place crashing down on us.
No kidding,
Freya replied wearily while holding her hand against the side of her face, blood dripping down from under it.
The metallic creature is moving.
Amaranth told me from his crouched position in front of me, his ears twitching as they shifted through the reverberating noise still echoing through the chamber.
But away from us.
Huh?
I grunted at the cat's statement, my mind shifting off the countless aches and bruises that the flying rocks had inflicted on my body.
Why would it do that?
I know not,
Amaranth replied, slowly crawling forward to peer around the stone that we had taken cover behind.
It is approaching the glowing crystals.
The ether crystals?
I repeated, twisting from my seated position to peer over the stone myself.
What does it want with them?
Spotting the construct, I saw that the sentinel had indeed broken away from us after unleashing its barrage of attacks and had taken several long strides towards the two ether crystals, having gone as far as to turn its back completely towards us as it moved. Frowning at the sight, I felt a sense of worry bloom in my chest as I considered our options. Given our experiences so far, anything interacting with the ether crystals was a cause for concern, and I was confident that this time would be no exception.
We need to stop it,
I said, glancing over at Freya as she twisted around to join me, the two of us watching the sentinel step right in between the two ether crystals and drop its sword to the ground before raising its hands to grab each crystal, stopping them both from their spin.
I don't know what it's doing, but it can't be any good for us.
Pushing myself back up to my feet, I ran out of our hiding spot, keeping my attention focused solely on the sentinel as the already thick aura of magic that hung around both of the ether crystals intensified and became almost painful for me to look at with my true sight ability active. With every second that passed, I could see the magic before me gradually becoming more and more substantial as the sentinel began to somehow draw on the energy stored in the two ether crystals that it was touching.
I have a bad feeling about this, Lear!
Freya exclaimed as the three of us ran forward, seeing an orb of shimmering magic form around the sentinel and the ether crystals.
That looks like a force shield!
It is!
I confirmed for, seeing the dome of magic before us solidify in my enhanced vision, making the sentinel appear to me as a ghostly silhouette within an orb of azure light.
But why does it need...
A large ball of azure energy burst free from the well of magic that the sentinel had fashioned around itself, causing my words to die in my throat as Freya, Amaranth, and I ground to a halt, surprised by the floating orb.
What is that?
Freya exclaimed as a second identical ball of magic emerged from the dome that the sentinel had cast around itself, followed closely behind by a third, then a fourth.
Lyrian?
I have no idea,
I replied, staring at the four beach ball-sized orbs of magic as they all came to a stop for a brief moment, then slowly began to glide towards us, gradually picking up speed as they moved.
But I'm gonna guess not good for us.
Taking a step backward from the advancing orbs, I couldn't help but notice that another two had emerged from the sentinel's dome, making me wonder just what exactly we were supposed to do at this stage in the encounter. This had been by far the most difficult boss fight that we had experienced in Ascend Online, and I couldn't help but begin to feel overwhelmed at how the fight was playing out. "The kid gloves are clearly off now, Mark," a pessimistic voice in my head said to me as the three of us continued to backpedal away from the orbs of magic, each of them appearing to have fixated themselves on one of us, with me being the odd one out and having attracted the attention of two of the four. "This is the part where the game finally tests you to see if you've been paying attention the whole time." "I think we need to split up," I said quickly, forcing the voice in my head to be quiet while I tried to come up with a plan. "It looks like each of those orbs is going to slowly get faster and faster until they finally catch up to us." "I think you're right," Frey agreed before jabbing her spear in the direction of the sentinel. "But what are we supposed to do now? Just endlessly outrun them? The way that thing is spawning orbs, we're going to get overrun in no time." "I haven't thought that far ahead, to be honest," I replied, watching the four newest orbs begin to glide forward, having fixated on one of the other members of the guild elsewhere in the chamber. "My guess is that either we need to survive until the sentinel drains those crystals dry and runs out of power, or we need to try and attack that shield and bring it down somehow. That's going to be next to impossible with the way it keeps creating those orbs," Freya stated while casting a glance at me. "Can't you do your mana-absorbing thing and bypass the shield like you did during that fight with Mazda and his group? Then maybe you can force the sentinel to stop casting more of them." "Shit! That's a good idea," I replied, kicking myself for not having thought of the tactic myself, having been more focused on figuring out a way through the mechanics of the encounter rather than ignoring them completely. "I'll give it a shot." "Good luck! I'm gonna warn the others," Freya shouted, as both she and Amaranth split up, going off in their own direction, away from me, the azure orbs that had targeted them gradually adjusting their course to follow. "It looks like the orbs are slow to change course," I observed, noticing that there was a slight delay from when Freya and Amaranth began moving and their two azure orbs shifting to follow them. That might make it easier to dodge them if they get too close. Keeping that bit of information in mind, I stopped backpedaling away from the sentinel's dome and began to circle around it, breaking into a slow jog as I considered my options. At the moment, there were already a dozen orbs of magic gliding through the air, yet from what I could tell, only two of them had fixated their attention on me, which shouldn't be too hard to avoid, especially since I can blink step out of the way if they get too close, I thought, watching them slowly angle themselves to follow me, while all of the other orbs continued onwards to the rest of the party. But if I rush to approach the dome, I need to make sure that I don't accidentally run into another orb, or get too close to one that just spawned. With my luck, these things might just decide to explode the moment they sense something close to them, even if it isn't their target. Checking to see how closely the two orbs were following me, I increased my pace and cutting closer towards the dome, looking to shorten the distance between me and the magical barrier once I finally cleared the path that all the other orbs were following. My plan right now was to see if I could get in close enough to the dome to touch it, and see if I could force my way through it while saving Blinkstep in case I needed to make a quick escape. "Here goes nothing," I exclaimed, taking in a deep breath as I passed by the final cluster of orbs and angled myself directly towards the barrier. Switching my steady jog into an all-out sprint, I closed the distance between me and the Force Dome, seeing several more orbs emerge from within as I ran. Fortunately for me, however, all of the new orbs of magic were far enough away from me that I didn't have to adjust my angle of approach. With my free arm outstretched, I thrust it into the shimmering dome of force the moment that I came close enough to do so, feeling a torrent of energy shoot up my arm. But instead of passing through the dome of force as I had expected to, I felt the shield under my hand bend and deform as a veritable torrent of mana surged into my body, making me feel as if I had tried to take a drink from a fire hose.
Whoa!
I couldn't help but gasp under the sheer quantity of energy surging before me as the sentinel's force dome absorbed all of my momentum and left me standing in place with my hand slowly being pushed out of the slight depression that I'd managed to make. "I can't absorb enough of it fast enough," I thought, for the first time realizing just how much power was surging through the magical barrier before me. All I'd managed to do is slightly weaken a small portion of it, but it hadn't been anywhere close enough to allow me to break through it. Remembering that the two orbs were still hot on my tail, I glanced over my shoulder and spotted the pair speeding towards me at high speed.
Shit! I have to move!
Reacting at the speed of thought, I picked a spot directly behind the two orbs and triggered Blinkstep, my vision blurring out of focus as I teleported. Reappearing at the very edge of the range that I could manage, I heard a loud thunderclap of magic echo through the chamber, prompting me to immediately spin around and look back at where I'd just been standing. Gone was any sign of the two orbs that had been chasing me, replaced with a large cloud of rapidly fading magic. Those pack an even bigger punch than I was expecting, I thought, seeing the force dome ripple from the blast, the energy swirling through it appearing to grow slightly dimmer in my augmented vision, making my eyes widen in surprise.
Wait! That blast affected the barrier!
Focusing my attention on the magic forming the dome, I watched it gradually regain its former intensity, the whole purpose of the encounter suddenly crystallizing in my mind.
We need to lead the orbs it spawns back into the barrier. If we can get enough of them to hit it at the same time, then maybe we can bring it down, or weaken it enough so I can break through.
The only trick now is getting enough orbs following you and surviving long enough to lead them back to the barrier, I said to myself grimly, glancing around to see if there were any party members nearby, my eyes landing on three sprinting figures that happened to have seven orbs trailing closely behind them. Breaking into a run, I waved wildly at the trio, recognizing them as Lazarus, Halcyon, and Drace as I got closer.
Hey!
I shouted in between steps, seeing each of their heads swivel in my direction.
I need you guys to lead your orbs to the dome!
You need us to do what, Lear?
Halcyon answered first, panting heavily as he ran.
I need you to lead your orbs to the dome and cause them to crash into it, I explained, falling in line with the trio. It should either destroy the barrier or weaken it enough so I can get through it.
Are you sure that's gonna work?
Lazarus asked, barely sounding winded from the run.
Getting close is one thing, but getting out...
It'll work, I affirmed. I just tested it with two orbs, but it wasn't nearly enough. I'm hoping the ones following you three will work.
Lear?
Halcyon gasped.
I have four of these things gaining on me, and I'm already running as fast as I can. There's no way I'm gonna make it all that way, let alone out.
Hal, I began in an attempt to reassure the mage, but found myself interrupted by Drace.
Don't worry, man. You'll make it.
He grunted, while glancing over at Lazarus with a meaningful look, who nodded and then shifted his positioning until he was a few steps behind Halcyon.
One way or another, at least.
Huh?
The mage grunted, his hand clutching at a stitch in his chest as he tried to look over his shoulder.
What is that supposed to mean?
The words were barely out of the man's mouth before Lazarus came rushing up from behind Halcyon at a full sprint, a palpable red aura hanging around him in my vision. Without breaking stride, he effortlessly scooped up the running mage in his arms with one smooth motion and threw him over his shoulder.
Hey! What are you doing?
Halcyon yelled, sheer terror tinging his voice.
Stop! Put me down!
I'm sorry, Hal. I'm afraid we can't do that right now,
Drace replied, a note of humor evident in his voice.
Just enjoy the ride, and maybe cast a force shield if it looks like we'll need it.
Wait, you're not gonna...
Halcyon began to protest, just as Lazarus's words cut him off.
Quiet!
The half-giant barked with barely restrained rage, the aura around him flaring brightly.
We're going! Follow me!
Without another word, Lazarus took off like a gunshot, pulling ahead of both Drace and I as he sprinted directly towards the dome.
I hope this shit works, Lear!
Drace shouted a heartbeat afterward as he too put on a burst of speed to keep up with the enraged half-giant.
It will!
I told the warrior, simultaneously crossing my fingers where he couldn't see. Just be ready for whatever happens afterward!
Yeah!
I heard Drace call back as I split away from him, mindful of the fact that I needed to arrive after the orbs trailing him impacted the dome, or be caught right in the middle of the blast that I was trying to cause. Taking several steps away from the line that Drace and the others had been following, I slowed just enough for the seven rapidly accelerating orbs to fly past me, using the opportunity to check and see if any newer orbs had managed to lock onto me in the meantime. Thankful to see that nothing had targeted me, I turned my attention back towards the dome, just in time to see the first of the orbs slam into it. Immediately, everything in front of me vanished in a bright azure light, as orb after orb collided with the dome, and subsequently vented their fury onto the magical barrier that the sentinel had created, filling the air with a palpable haze of mana. Rushing in half-blind on the heels of the blast, I threw any semblance of caution to the wind and charged forward with my free hand outstretched once again, ready to try and break through the barrier for a second time. Plunging my hand into the swirling maelstrom of energy, I once again felt a cool wave of energy shoot up my arm as I began to absorb the mana powering the dome. This time, instead of it resisting my attempts to push through it, it dissipated under my touch, the multitudes of impacts from the orbs having weakened it past the point of resistance, allowing me to pass straight through it as if I were parting a curtain.
It worked!
I exclaimed mentally, feeling a surge of elation course through my body as I rapidly brought myself to a halt, gazing up at the sentinel's back as it maintained its grip on the two ether crystals, completely oblivious to my presence. Casting a glance behind me out of reflex, I saw that the barrier behind me had already sealed and was rapidly regenerating in strength with every second that passed, effectively trapping me inside the dome with the sentinel. Glancing around and then up at the construct, I suddenly felt a surge of doubt shoot through me as I considered what to do next. Well, I wanted badly to get in here. What the hell am I supposed to do now? Staring at the sentinel for several seconds as I considered the options before me, I weighed the prospects of trying to climb it, then stab it, in what I hoped would be a vulnerable location, such as the one remaining eye it had, or coming up with an alternative solution. Shifting my gaze off the construct and onto the ether crystal, I carefully inspected the object, noting once again that it was perfectly identical to the crystals that we'd seen earlier in the ruins, right down to the rings encircling it. The rings! I noted with excitement, recalling the metal fragments that we had recovered in the first chamber. The rings are somehow important to the ether crystals. Maybe if I broke them... Decision made, I sprang into action, grabbing hold of Splinter with both hands as I crossed the short distance between the closest ether crystal and me. Timing my attack for when the two rings descended to the lowest point of the crystal, I lashed out with Splinter, chopping the ether-touched blade into the ancient metal with all the strength I could manage. Which, in hindsight, I later recalled, had been completely unnecessary on my part. Both of the rings shattered violently under the impact of my blade, exploding into countless metal shards as if they'd been wrapped around a stick of dynamite. Pain flared as several of the ring's fragments sliced exposed skin, forcing me to take a step backward in reflex and belatedly shield my face. Before I could even begin to voice a curse at what had just happened, a loud cracking sound filled the air before me. Pulling my hand away from my eyes, I glanced up at the ether crystal that I just tried to sabotage. My mouth falling open as millions of tiny cracks began to snake through it. Reacting quickly, the sentinel took its hand off the ether crystal and twisted its head down to look towards me, the energy powering the dome fading drastically. Shit! Time to go! I said to myself, tearing my gaze away from the sentinel as it reached out towards me with its now free hand, prompting me to turn away from the rapidly destabilizing crystal and trigger blink step, reappearing right beside the other ether crystal with Splinter raised high in the air. Without a second's hesitation, I slashed out with my sword once more, catching the two rings on the second ether crystal as it came into range. This time ready for the blast, I made sure to turn my face away as I connected with the rings, feeling them practically explode from the impact, several of the shards finding their way into my flesh. But despite the pain shooting through me, I couldn't help but smile as another loud crack filled the air, echoing in sympathy with its twin. Almost instantly, the dome of magic surrounding me vanished, leaving me staring out into the cavernous chamber and at several orbs still floating through the air as they chased their respective targets. Twisting back to look over my shoulder as I forced myself to run away from the two now damaged ether crystals, I saw that each of them had violently begun to shatter, the energy stored within them roiling as it refused to be contained. Shifting my glance ever so slightly, I caught sight of the sentinel still standing directly between the two ether crystals as it slowly turned on its bad leg in an attempt to see where I had gone. Taking my eyes off the sentinel, I put on a burst of speed as I tried to put as much space between me and the crystals as possible, having a strong suspicion about what was going to happen next. Sprinting as if my life depended on it, I put every iota of strength that I had into my legs, watching the cavern blur by. Then, without any warning at all, everything suddenly went white, followed by a massive wave of force that swept me off my feet. I felt myself soar through the air for a distance, spinning wildly without control, before I crashed back into the ground heavily, sliding until I struck something hard. Stunned from the impact, I lay completely insensate for a time, until my brain finally finished rebooting itself, leaving me staring upwards into a now pitch-black chamber, seeing a single azure orb sail through the corner of my vision.
Are you okay?
Amaranth's mental voice thundered into my mind a moment before his face appeared above me.
I'm a little rattled,
I replied, despite feeling my body screaming at me in pain as I sat up.
But I think I'll be okay.
Good,
Amaranth replied, gently grabbing my arm in his mouth and trying to pull me up onto my feet.
You are still needed. The fight isn't over yet.
What do you mean it's not over?
I asked the cat numbly, wincing as his teeth dug into my arm.
The rest of the group is still battling the metallic creature,
Amaranth explained.
We require a distraction.
Wait,
What?
I exclaimed, accepting Amaranth's help in standing up and scanning the chamber, my eyes landing on the incredibly damaged form of the sentinel as it took a lumbering swing at Drace with its only remaining arm.
I can't believe it's still alive!
It is certainly resilient,
Amaranth agreed as the two of us ran forward one last time towards the Nefarian construct, spotting Drace, Freya, Thorn, Cadmus, and Lazarus having formed a loose circle around it.
Lyr, you're up!
Drace greeted me wearily as the sentinel drunkenly twisted to take a swing at Freya.
Great! We might just have a chance now.
Is this all of us that are left? I asked, checking party sense and suddenly realizing that Caius was no longer nearby and had respawned with Constantine back in Oldford.
Pretty much, the warrior grunted. Sierra, Mir, Abaddon, and Halcyon are all down and seriously injured, with Thea tending to them. All the others are dead.
Shit, I replied, letting out a deep sigh before realizing that there was a name missing. What about Alistair?
Bringing the last orb in for a final pass, Drace told me. We're hoping to use it to take down the Sentinel, but we missed the last time. This is our last chance with it.
Okay, I acknowledged, turning my head until I spotted Alistair's sprinting figure in the distance. Just one more time. Nodding in wordless reply, Drace, Amaranth, and I took several steps forward towards the Sentinel, joining the rest of the group and keeping it distracted. One by one, we then took turns stepping in close to the Sentinel, getting in close enough for it to attempt a swing at us, only to back away from the damaged construct, and forcing it to shift its attention to the next person in line. Watching carefully out of the corner of my eye, I saw Alistair close the distance between us, the azure orb glowing brightly just over his shoulder as he approached. We had purposefully timed our turning of the Sentinel so that its back would be facing Alistair when he arrived, random chance allowing it to be my turn to distract the construct when he finally made contact, giving me the perfect view as he ran straight in between its legs and dove to the side, a heartbeat before the closely following orb slammed into the back of the golem's leg. Detonating, the orb consumed itself in a magical conflagration of energy, going as far as to blow the Sentinel's leg clean off its body and sending the mechanical Goliath crashing down onto the ground. Sensing a chance to finally put an end to the battle, we all surged forward with a primal roar and charged the fallen sentinel, the scream of metal drowning out our cry as we all began to chop, thrust, or smash our weapons into the construct, rending apart the armor that hid the delicate machinery within. With every attack that landed, the sentinel's movements gradually began to slow, smoke and sparks billowing out from within. But for all the damage that we had caused, it wasn't until Alistair, recovered from his desperate sprint, brought his axe down on the golem's melted head, splitting it nearly in two, that the sentinel finally stopped moving, all signs of life fading away, prompting a set of rapid messages to appear in my vision. Alistair has slain a Nefarian sentinel. You gain party experience. Congratulations. You have reached level 15. You have been awarded one class skill point.
Chapter 39.
Well, I don't think I'm going to forget that fight anytime soon.
Thorn's voice echoed out through the cavern as we all struggled to catch our breath from the battle, watching the sentinel's body dissipate into nothingness to be replaced by a large loot bag.
An old Nefarian robot was the last thing I would have expected to find down here.
Didn't the security system warn you? I asked while exhaling in a controlled manner, hoping that by slowing my breathing I would be able to calm my still rapidly beating heart. Hitting level 15 had done wonders in healing all the wounds that I'd suffered during the battle, but now that the fighting was over, I had to find my own way of calming down.
Not that I know of, Thorn replied with a shrug. Ransom and Zethys were the only ones that made contact with it, and they didn't mention anything.
I grunted, matching the dwarf shrug with one of my own before turning my head towards the sound of approaching footsteps.
Please tell me the sentinel is dead,
Sierra called hopefully as she and the others who'd been seriously wounded towards the end of the fight rejoined us.
It's dead,
Drace affirmed, turning around to face the approaching group.
And from the looks of it, I think most of us just leveled up.
About time, too,
Halcyon agreed with excitement on his face. Nearly everyone between the two parties nodding enthusiastically, save for Alistair and Lazarus.
Still have another quarter to go.
Lazarus commented wistfully.
And I am literally 20 experience short of level 14,
Alistair added with frustration.
So close.
Oh, shit! We got a class skill point this level,
Thorn said suddenly, his demeanor shifting to one of all-out joy as his eyes glazed over while he focused on a menu in his vision.
I completely forgot about that.
That's right, I said enthusiastically, seeing all the other surviving guild members do the same as the dwarf as they looked to see what they could spend their new skill point on. Casting an understanding look at both Alistair and Lazarus, the pair shrugged at me in response before turning to walk towards the Sentinel's loot bag, content to busy themselves with looking through the spoils while the rest of us adjusted our character sheets. Not wanting to seem rude, but also eager to see what new abilities I had available to me, I waited until the pair began searching through the bag, then brought up my ability list, immediately seeing a prompt fill my vision. You currently have one unspent class skill point. Please select an ability from the following list to learn. Traits. Improved familiar bond. Type, trait, class. Duration, permanent. Trait requirement. A bonded familiar with relationship rank loyal or higher. Description. As your relationship with your familiar improves, the connection that the two of you share deepens, giving you the ability to channel self-targeted spells across your bond and gaining enhanced insight to one another's senses when in close proximity. Effect? When you and your familiar are within 15 feet of one another, any spell that could previously only be cast on yourself can now also be cast on your familiar. Furthermore, when within range, you each subconsciously share in one another's senses, giving insight into what the other is experiencing. Mana Devourer. Type, trait, special. Duration, permanent. Trait requirement. Die from the effects of mana void. Description. You have experienced the depths of your body's hunger for mana firsthand as it consumed your flesh and blood, feeling something stir deep within you. Even now, recovered from your ordeal, you can't quite shake the feeling that there is something just past your perception within you, something more than you could tap into or allow to tap into you. Effect unknown. Spells. Cone of Cold. Type, spell, class skill. Duration, instant. Arcane Tree, evocation. Spell Mastery, evocation, level 9. Mana cost, 140. Description. You unleash a blast of arctic wind before you, freezing and slowing any who are caught in its blast. Effect, you instantly cast a wave of freezing energy centering from either your hand or mouth, dealing 80 to 120 cold damage to everything in front of you. Shocking Touch 2. Type, spell, class skill. Duration, instant. Arcane Tree, evocation. Spell Mastery, evocation, level 19. Mana cost, 170. Description. You charge your hand with electricity, discharging it through the first thing you touch. Effect. You shock the next thing you touch for 55 to 95 points of electricity damage. This attack can be conducted through metallic weapons, items, and water. Martial Arts. Rend. Type, martial art, general skill. Skill requirement, swords, level 14. Stamina cost, 60. Description. Twisting your sword through the target's flesh, you leave behind a wicked gash that bleeds for a short period. Effect. You inflict a bleeding wound on your target, dealing 25 damage every 2 seconds for the next 8 seconds or until healed. This effect scales with your weapon. Ambush. Type, martial art, general skill, skill requirement, stealth level 9. Stamina cost, 60. Description. Taking your target by surprise, you strike them in a vulnerable location before combat has begun. Effect, you ambush an unaware target, dealing weapon damage plus 125. This ability can only be used against enemies who are not aware of you, nor are in combat. Oh, damn, I thought, unable to keep my eyes from widening as I read through the list of traits, spells, and abilities that I had available to me. This is like level 10 all over again. Shaking my head, I reread the list a second time, trying to figure out what abilities I could live without for the time being, and what others I could maybe attempt to learn the old-fashioned way, through endless practice and training. assuming I could ever find enough time to devote to doing that. I couldn't help but think, letting out a low sigh as I began to eliminate choices from the selection. I think I can eliminate Cone of Cold, Rend, and Ambush out of hand. Cone of Cold just costs too much mana for the amount of damage it deals, and I don't have that multicast ability that Mazter had to augment it. As for Rend, it'd be really useful to have, but I don't think it stands out enough from the other options available. I guess the same thing goes for Ambush, too. I continued, looking over the ability and realizing that I tended to favor direct melee combat over stealth. Being able to one-shot an enemy out of hiding would be awesome, but it'll be useless once the fight begins, and more often than not, I find myself right in the thick of things. Which I guess leaves the last three options available to me. I scrolled the list in my vision until I was looking at the upgraded version of Shocking Touch. It was easily the most popular spell in my spellbook and one that was responsible for a substantial portion of the damage I inflicted, something that would greatly increase with this newest rank. Yet I couldn't help but feel hesitant in taking it as an option, noticing that the spell mastery put it 5 levels above what my current evocation skill was, which means that I'd fail at 50% of my casts until I managed to level evocation high enough, and that would be a bit of a pain considering that I can't regenerate mana. Running a hand through my hair, I temporarily took my eyes off the skill list in front of me to look at the rest of the party, seeing the intense expressions on their faces as they too wrestled with their skill options. Nothing puts the pressure on like spending a skill point, especially considering how rarely we get them, I thought grimly, turning my attention back towards the list hanging in my vision and the 2 remaining traits that were available. Now I guess that just leaves improved familiar bond and Mana Devourer, which sounds worrying, if nothing else. Pausing for a moment to read over the latter trait's description for the 3rd time, I couldn't help but feel unsettled as I recalled my experience resurrecting in Aldford after the battle with Carver. I remembered feeling like there was something trapped inside of me that was actively trying to claw its way out before it finally went dormant. It wasn't an experience that I ever wanted to relive again. But the fact that a specific trait had appeared in response to what I'd experienced couldn't help but make me curious. Was this an option for me to progress deeper into my ether-warped condition, or was this something related to my contact with the annulment sphere, or even a combination of the two? The lack of information made it difficult for me to gauge the risk of taking the trait, especially considering the fact that I wasn't quite enthusiastic about how it had already affected me. What if it turns me into one of those ghouls full-time? I thought, staring at the trait intently. Even if I retained my sanity this time, how would that make me look? How would it change my playstyle? Would I regret the choice? But no matter how many times I asked those questions in my mind, an answer never appeared, causing my eyes to drift off the Mana Devourer trait and onto the last, or more aptly, 1st trait in the list. Improved Familiar Bond. Amaranth and I are barely ever apart, I noted, glancing over the trait description once again while looking down at the azure-furred puma at my feet, who is busily grooming himself as he patiently waited for us to get moving again. And if I'm reading this trait right, we'll be able to coordinate better between one another, and I'll be able to share my lesser shielding spell with him, which should help keep him safe in combat. I wish, though, that I had a few other spells that were more useful. If only I could give him the ability to blink step. I felt my heart skip a beat as I replayed my last thought a 2nd time in my mind, causing me to stare numbly at the trait. Wait a second. Blink step is a self-targeted spell. That should actually work. Sure, I'd burn through my mana in no time flat if the 2 of us are blink stepping around, but it would give us both a huge amount of mobility and give Amaranth an escape option if he needed it. Feeling that I was close to making a decision, I looked once more at the Mana Devourer trait, unable to completely let go of the curiosity that I felt. I guess it's possible that I'll have another chance to take the trait when I get my next skill point at level 20. And there's also that class challenge thing at level 19 before it, whatever that entails. Satisfied that the best choice for me at the moment was to take Improved Familiar Bond, I mentally selected the trait and confirmed my choice, feeling my awareness of Amaranth and by extension my surroundings grow even sharper. I could suddenly hear faint sounds of rustling that hadn't been audible just a few seconds earlier,
along with the potent stench of the moldy-smelling musk that we'd smelled ever since we'd entered the chamber. Whoa, I thought, raising a hand to clench my head as I tried to sort out what I was experiencing, realizing that I wasn't in fact hearing or smelling everything around me, but that Amaranth was. Is this what Amaranth is hearing and smelling down here? Is this what the trait meant by sharing our senses?
Something is different,
the cat stated, interrupting my thoughts as he paused from his grooming efforts and turning his head to look at me, his azure eyes wide with surprise.
I can sense more somehow.
I can too, I replied to Amaranth, unsure of how to explain what had just changed. I think our bond between one another is growing stronger.
I agree,
he answered after a moment.
Before, the link we shared felt more distant, but now it feels closer somehow. I can sense what you hear, what you smell, almost as if it came from my own ears and nose.
That's the same for me, I acknowledged, happy that Amaranth was taking the deepening of our bond in stride. But I don't think that's all that we can do. I think I may even be able to share some of my magic with you now.
You can?
Amaranth asked curiously, standing up from his half-seated position.
What kind of magic?
My shield spell, I replied, and maybe my blink step too, but I'm not sure.
You think you could give me the ability to flit from place to place?
Amaranth's mental voice was suddenly filled with excitement as he took a step closer towards me.
What must I do to accept this magic?
I hedged, taking a step back from the overeager cat, having expected for him to be a bit more hesitant for some reason. Well, I'm not sure. We may have to experiment a bit.
Right now?
The puma asked impatiently. Sure, he can try, I said while preparing myself to cast Blink Step and hoping that I hadn't set Amaranth up for disappointment. He had never shown any interest in being able to flit from place to place, as he called it. But given how enthusiastic he was right now, I would hate to have to let him down. Tell me if you feel anything. Preparing himself, Amaranth visibly tensed as I went through the mental steps involved in casting Blink Step, but stopping just shy of actually triggering the spell, holding it fixed in my mind. Do you sense anything? I asked, seeing the cat cock his head to the side.
I do,
he replied, his mental voice sounding unsure.
Like there is something being held slightly out of reach.
How about now? I asked, mentally trying to push the spell in his direction the same way that I did with my thoughts. Can you? Before I could finish my words, Amaranth vanished from in front of me, followed seconds later by several very loud and surprised shouts.
Whoa! Amaranth, where did you come from?
I heard Freya exclaim.
Shit, he just appeared out of nowhere,
Halcyon added with a yelp.
Wait, was that just a blink step?
Sierra asked, cluing in the fastest out of the three.
It worked!
Amaranth's voice sounded overjoyed as I turned my head to see him now standing right in front of Freya, Halcyon, and Sierra, a short distance away from me. Turning away from the surprised trio, the cat quickly padded his way back over to me, clearly excited as he moved.
The magic came close enough to grasp, and in an instant, I felt like I could go anywhere.
That's great, Amaranth,
I replied, flashing a grin towards the three party members as they all gave me a surprised look. You were able to choose where you wanted to step to without any problems?
Once I held the magic, yes,
Amaranth said,
though it was a bit unsettling as I changed places.
It always is, I sent to my familiar. But practice will help get past that.
So, Lear,
Halcyon said loudly as he, Frey, and Sierra began to walk over to me, their eyes flitting from Amaranth, then back to me.
Learn anything new with your level 15 skill point?
Nothing too exciting, I replied with a shrug. Just a bit of a boost to the bond that Amaranth and I share.
A boost that lets him blink step?
Freya asked, a smile evident in her voice. Well, that's one thing, I said, but I can share pretty much any self-targeted spell with him now.
Oh, wow, Halcyon exclaimed. That's pretty badass. So things like Blink Step and Lesser Shielding, then? Those and Jump are the only self-targeted ones I have so far, I replied. And I'm pretty sure that Shocking Touch doesn't fall under the self-targeted category, as useful as that may be.
I think a giant blink-stepping puma is going to be terrifying enough for people to handle, Sierra stated. Having it also be electrified may be just a little too much to ask.
Considering that spiritual wolf that Carver had, maybe not, I said, recalling our last battle with the man. That thing had a mana-draining ability on top of being able to do something like blink-step.
I remember that. Freya commented, her eyes taking on a faraway look for a second before focusing back onto me.
Maybe you'll have an option to develop more abilities later. I'm not sure what y'all had as part of your skill choices, but mine were damn near overwhelming.
Tell me about it, Halcyon grumbled. I still haven't made up my mind.
Yeah, they definitely were, I nodded at Freya. And you're right, there's no way of knowing.